Anybody glad you came to church today? Come on, can we make some noise for Jesus right now? Can we celebrate him? Why don't you turn to somebody standing next to you, tell them you're glad to see him, greet him, meet somebody. You already know what to do. Y'all are just having a seat. Y'all can have a seat. Quick note about where we're heading. This is the last week you're going to hear me sort of walk through our year-end legacy vision. Next week, I would highly encourage you to be here, bring somebody with you. We have an incredible message to share with you that will be challenging, inspiring, encouraging. I'm actually interviewing the president of one of our most faithful and fruitful global ministry partners. Hale Donaldson is the president of Convoy of Hope, and he has a mind-blowing story to tell, how he got started and just what God has done in his life. You've got to be here to hear it, and I promise you, you bring somebody with you next week, they're going to witness just an incredible story of hope and transformation. And then on December 4th, we step into full-blown Christmas season with a Christmas series called Are You Ready? Anybody ready for Christmas? Come on. I'm really excited about the Christmas season starting in December. Every week in December, we're going to be performing one of the Christmas songs that our team has just prepared. This is actually the second recording. It's an EP since joining the Sony Provident and Essential Worship families. We're going to be releasing a brand new Christmas EP on the evening of Thanksgiving. So it's really the 25th at midnight. But y'all are going to get to listen to this and download this and stream this wherever you listen to music. Can we make some noise for the incredible team, worship leaders? And these are remakes of just some good classic Christmas songs. You're going to love that. And then, of course, on December 22nd, 3rd, and 4th, we have 14 opportunities to experience what I think is the best Christmas Eve candlelight worship experience in the city. So be mindful of that. And then, of course, on December 11th, which is Legacy Sunday, we give together toward our year-end legacy vision. You're going to notice next weekend, there'll be a new insert in your worship guide that will sort of highlight the New Year legacy vision for those who maybe haven't heard it yet, or for those who perhaps need reminded of it. Today is the last day that we're going to be walking through those in detail this way. And the reason we do what we do once a year, where we focus on living a legacy that lasts, is because we tend to forget and we tend to drift. Anybody notice that we just sort of, people, organizations, churches, families, individuals, businesses, we just sort of tend to drift and to forget. We sort of personally and corporately tend to prioritize, if we're not careful, whatever the immediate need is in front of us, more so than we prioritize the most important need. And so what we do as a church family is we purposefully remind ourselves once a year, at least, that we are not here without cause, but that we are here for the greatest cause ever given. Can I get an amen from somebody? That we're not here without cause, that we are here for the greatest cause, that we have the greatest cause to live for. We have the greatest hope to share, the greatest message to deliver, the greatest mission to engage, and it is the cause of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the mission of Jesus. Make heaven full, make heaven full, make heaven full. Amen? The verse that we've been using throughout this series is Psalm 112. It's sort of the theme verse of our series, verse 5 and 6, and it's a promise by God, and it says this: good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. And if I could give you something to chew on and to consider for the next few moments, it would be this: that we will all be remembered for something. The question is, for what thing will we be remembered? Remember, the goal isn't to live on earth forever. Nobody can and nobody will. The goal is to live our lives in such a way that the lives we live would outlive us, and that our lives would continue to have earthly impact and heavenly impact long after we're all gone. One of my mentors, Pastor Chris Hodges, said it this way: what I do for me tends to die with me, but what I do for others will live beyond me. And this is the season where we really, as a church, we hyper-focus not on what we do for ourselves, but on what we do for the sake of others. That's really what this legacy season is all about. So on December 11th, when we bring our year-end legacy offering, we're not giving toward what we're doing now and who we're serving now. We're actually saying, Lord, what more might we do? Who more might we serve in the new year? Who more might we engage? Who more might we reach? Who more might we serve? And if you're here for the first time today, I would say this: you picked a great day to be here for the first time, because as we walk through this year-end legacy vision, you're going to see quite clearly who we are as a church, what we do, what we value, what we care about. Because the reality is, nobody gives toward what they don't think matters much at all. We give toward what we believe matters a lot. Amen. So you're going to really get to see the heart of our church, and it's really the impact of or the truth of Jesus' word in Matthew chapter 6 verse 21, when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, you can really tell what a person cares about, or what a church or what a family or community of believers really care about, because you just look at what they're giving their time or their talent and their treasure toward. That's where their heart is. And what we think matters most in this church is reaching people for Jesus. Amen. What we think matters most in this church is being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's living out Matthew 25, when Jesus said, whatever you do for one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. It's living out Matthew 28 and Mark 16, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And the reason I need you to preach is because whoever believes in me and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's carrying the message of Jesus from John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus is not only clear of his intent for us and his intention for us, but he gives word to what we are already experiencing in the world today, when he says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's giving word to what we experience on a day-by-day basis. You don't have to look far to see the hopelessness that exists in the world around us. You don't have to look far to find somebody who's depressed or despondent, who's carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, who's filled with anxiety or worry or trouble or pain. You don't have to look far to find a person who is suffering. And Jesus is really giving word to our day-to-day experience, but then he says this: I have come that you may have life, that you would have life to the full. Jesus is sending his church out into a broken world full of sin and pain and suffering with a message of forgiveness and freedom and life and hope and peace, no matter what your trouble. And this is why we do what we do. Aren't you glad for he who came that we may have life and life to the full? Aren't you glad that his desire for all of us is that we would know him, and that we would live for him, and that we would be filled with life and purpose and peace and joy and hope. Lord, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word today? As we just acknowledge the giver of life, you are here with us now, and we are so grateful for your presence. Would you minister to each one of us like only you have the power to do? In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, would you put your hands together for everybody joining us right now, in person, online, on television. Keep it going for the hundreds of prisons that are tuned in from all across the nation right now. Men and women behind bars, friends and family near and far, we are glad you're here. I want to read to you to start today's message a verse that I'm not sure I've ever read to you in 11 plus years of ministry. I don't know that I've ever actually included this verse in a single message. It's kind of crazy too, because this is an incredible verse. Psalm chapter 65, verse 11, New Living Translation. It says this. You crown the year. Say you crown. Y'all know who we're talking about, right? You crown. This is a verse that I think brings such incredible perspective, not only to the year we've just had, but to this run of 11 plus years of ministry. And perhaps you might even look over the history, the course of your life, and you could acknowledge this as well. Lord, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Sometimes I think we tend to focus on what we don't have, but I think it's a good practice to wake up every day being mindful and being grateful for what we do have. Amen? That I can focus on what I'm missing, but when I wake up and realize just to wake up is a gift from God. I'm grateful that I have today to live. I'm grateful that I have this air to breathe. I'm grateful that I have a heart still beating inside this chest of mine. I'm grateful that I have a mind that can think and that can focus and that can dream and strategize and systematize and organize and create. I'm grateful that you crown the year. And as I think about the year, year 11, how we got to celebrate 3,898 people saying yes to Jesus in year 11. I'm so glad about that. And I know if you've been here the past few weeks, you know, hey, we've already celebrated this. Yeah, well, I think we need to continue to celebrate it. And I think we need to celebrate, too, that just in the last 2 weeks, since we started celebrating that number, we've seen another 167 people just in the past 2 weeks say yes to Jesus. You crown the year. You crowned year 11 where we got to walk with the 401 people as they were water baptized in year 11. You crowned the year. But he's also crowned the past 2 weeks where we've seen 190 people more baptized. Come on, it's an incredible thing to celebrate what God is doing. You crown the year, and even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. If you have our year 11 report, you've probably read through it. And one of the things that stands out to me is just the overwhelming outpouring of generosity at year's end last year as we were getting ready to break ground on Polaris, which we just did a few weeks ago, and just how big and impossible a vision that looked like for us. And it still looks quite impossible. And yet God, even the hard pathways overflow with abundance, because anything that Jesus is a part of, it's going to grow. Anything that Jesus is a part of, it's going to be blessed. When he's in your life, your life is blessed. When you welcome him into your home is blessed. When Jesus is a part of your marriage, the most important part of your marriage, your family, where you work, come on, how many of you know those circles will be blessed? Because where Jesus is present, his blessing is present. You crown the year. And I love looking back, but I also love looking forward and asking the question, God, if you did what you did in year 11, what might you possibly do in year 12? That's what this New Year vision is all about. And once a year at year's end, we receive a special offering that's focused on four lanes of vision. The first lane is on reaching the unreached. How many of you know there's a lot of people in our city that have still not heard the gospel articulated in a way that they can understand it? How many of you also know there are people in parts of the world right now, particularly in the 1040 window, which is a part of the world that spans from West Africa through East Asia? Roughly 59 countries make up this window. And in this particular part of the world, from 10 to 40 degrees north latitude, more than 97% of all the world's unreached people groups live within this particular region. And when I say an unreached people group, what I mean is that there are people alive today who have no access to any portion of the gospel in their own language. There's no church in their local community that they can walk through the doors of. This part of the world in particular is home to more than 90% of all the extreme poverty in the world. So the need is great. Spiritual need is incredible. Physical need is great. Through last year's year-end legacy offering, we were able to translate the Gospel of Luke into three brand new languages where no part of the gospel had ever been translated in these particular languages. We were able to plant a pastor in each of these three communities. One was in Russia, one in Libya, and one in the country of Chad. And I want you to know, and I didn't pick that, by the way, but it's And I want you to know that just from years into now, in those three regions, we have seen 377 house churches planted. 6,332 people have said yes to Jesus. And in the last 6 months of 2021, in one of the most hostile regions of Southeast Asia, our pastors were able to baptize more than 2,500 people. It is so mind-blowing. So why are we focused in the 1040 window? Well, we're focused there because not a lot of people are focused there. Matter of fact, less than 3% of America's missions dollars go to support missions in the 1040 window. So that's where the need is, but most of America's mission dollars go elsewhere. Only 1% of American missionaries feel called or are sent to this particular part of the world. And so we're sending, we're supporting, we're funding, we're bringing the gospel, and we're planting churches where no other Christian church exists. This is why we go. Through this year's year-end legacy offering, you'll help to make possible the translation of the Gospel of Luke into three more languages. We'll plant three more pastors in these communities, unreached communities, who will start the first Christian church there. Through your support, we'll be able to increase our support of frontline pastors all throughout the 1040 window. Right now, currently, we have 100 pastors who are fully funded and supported by this church, some of whom we will begin to support are pictured here. If you could throw this picture up there, their faces have been blurred because if this picture were to get out, it would put them in particular danger, but these are the pastors who last weekend I was able to, via Zoom, commission for the ministry. We commissioned 75 brand new frontline pastors to go and take the gospel into communities where they've never heard the gospel, and so many of these pastors were being told they're literally being run out of town during the day, so they're sneaking in at night and they're meeting secretly with new believers, and they're planting house churches there underground, and then they're leaving once morning comes, and they're doing that day in and day out, and they're seeing the church thrive and grow. It's pretty incredible when you start to think about building not just this church, but the church of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Through our local outreach lane, you're going to help us secure a new headquarters and warehouse space for the Columbus Dream Center so that we can gather more teams and send out bigger, larger teams and be just more suited to bring goods and services to those in most desperate need right here in our own city. You'll help us increase the number of statewide prisons that we have teams on site in and continue moving toward the launch and the staffing of a Dream Center on the east side. Through our disaster response and church planning lane, you'll help us stay ready and focused to respond quickly whenever and wherever disaster strikes, allowing us to send financial support and materials, whatever the need is, to those in most desperate need before a Sunday rolls around. We don't even have to stand up here each week and say, hey, here's something that happened. Here's another hurricane. Hey, there was an earthquake here. Would you give toward that? We've already given at year's end, and we've front-loaded our generosity to be able to serve and to respond immediately. You'll help us to plant more life-giving churches in cities all across America through our relationship with the Association of Related Churches, of which my wife and I were honored to join the lead team of just this past year. We've helped to date to plant more than 1,000 churches all across America, 64 in year 11 alone. Through our Rock City expansion lane, this is the biggest part of our New Year vision. Our year-end legacy offering will help to finish Polaris. What we just broke ground on a few weeks ago will be soon a brand new 2,500-plus seat auditorium, a kids' wing that will serve more than 1,000 kids at a time, parking for everybody, office space, and more, as well as to double the capacity of the Tree of Life Christian School campus that is on site there. Come on. Because we need not only more churches in our city, we need more Christian schools. We need to increase capacity of both. And we're on track to finish in 2024, so long as we close the gap between what we have and what we need to finish. And that gap, conservatively speaking, is somewhere between $6 and $7 million to finish that project. So once again, at year's end, we're looking at a vision. It's too big for us. It seems impossibly out of reach. And most of us would say that this vision is too big for me to do all by myself. I know it's too big for me to do all by myself. Most of us would agree it's too big for me to do all by myself. And if you're here and you'd say, actually, it's not too big for me to do it all by myself, well, you might just help us dream bigger dreams. But even if there are a dozen people here who would say, I can do it all by myself, can I just say this is true, that none of us is as good as all of us are good together? Amen. That if you can do that by yourself, imagine what you could do and what we could do if we would link arms together. That none of us is as strong as all of us together. That's our year-end vision. That's that. And that's the last time you're going to hear me walk through that vision piece by piece. And the reason we're not receiving a year-end legacy offering during our legacy series is because, again, it's too big a vision. And we want to make sure that everybody has time to pray and to plan. Lord, what might you have me do? What might you have me give? I need to pray it through. I need to plan it through. And as you consider what you might do and how you might participate this year's end, let me give you three words that we've been using from day one, from before we ever launched the church. Three things that we can all be doing now, and this is really practical today. But this is the season, I think, to be focused, hyper-focused on reaching the lost, hyper-focused on serving people in need, hyper-focused on the mission and living it well. Amen? Amen. We need to be reminded. And the three words are simple. It is be, invite, and invest. When you have a mission statement like make heaven full, that's such a big mission statement. Sometimes the practicality of living out that mission can be lost. And we need some simple action steps. And those simple action steps are, would you be present in this season? And would you be mindful and attentive and focused in this season? Being present matters. Why? Because for all you know, there's somebody walking through the doors this weekend or next weekend, and you were the person that they needed to see. Because how many of you know when you walk into a new space, you're always going to look for somebody that either looks like you or can connect with you? Like, am I the only one like me? You're going to look for somebody who you feel like you might be able to make a connection with, even if you don't talk to anybody. You're still going to look around, and you never know what weekend somebody's going to walk through these doors and the person they needed to see, the smile they needed to be given, the handshake, the hug, the greeting, the help that they needed for their kids as they're checking them in, and they don't even know where to go to check in their kids. The help, the service, the open door, the helping me park. What's the thing that we can do to make somebody's first experience the best? Be mindful. I don't know if you've noticed, but some of our fuller services are getting more full, and I hate to break it to you, but in this season, and really through February, March, and April, the fullest services aren't getting less full, they're going to get more full. Amen. Our 11 o'clock primarily is that prime time service time, and so for those of you at the 11 o'clock, maybe that's your normal service time, you might consider being mindful enough to say, hey, if this is the service time that more guests choose than any other service time, then I'm going to give up my seat at the 11. I'm going to attend a 9, or I'll attend a 1 o'clock, or I'll attend a night service at the Short North, because I can't stand to think about the fact that while I'm sitting in this seat and a family of 6 shows up at 10 minutes after 11 and they're stressed and anxious because there's not a seat for them and we have to sit them out in the lobby or break them up. Come on, nobody wants to break up anybody. And you just can't even imagine the difference that can be made by giving up your seat and allowing somebody else to sit there, likely somebody who's joining us for the first time, and how far that can go to making heaven full. Be prayerful. Pray for our teams. Pray for our pastors overseas. Pray for our Christmas services. Pray that our teams will grow and be engaged. Then Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. I'd say if you're engaged and you're serving on a team, pray that prayer. Lord, send more workers into the field. Give us eyes to see new people we can onboard onto our teams. If you're not already engaged, I'm going to give you an even better prayer to pray. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says this, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I over here said, 'Hey, here I am. Send me.'" Hey, I'm a part of a going, growing church, and there's thousands of people that are going to be walking through these doors in the next few weeks who need hope and who need help and who need Jesus. And if we need some more people serving at the Christmas services, if we need more people helping in kids' ministry, if we need more people helping in the parking lot, if we need more people serving at the Dream Center for Thanksgiving meals and all the Christmas events that we have all across the city, then, hey, I'm right here, Lord. I want to be engaged. I want to be the one that you send. Would you go? Would you serve? And then would you invite somebody to join you? Would you take a stack of Christmas invite cards or just regular old weekend invite cards that we have available every single weekend and say, hey, I want to invite you to join me? Because my mission field might not be the 1040 window, but it's in my neighborhood, it's in my home, it's at my workplace, it's in my classroom, it's in my school, it's at Giant Eagle, come on, it's at the gym. How then can they call on one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in one that they've not heard of? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? You're being sent right now. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Amen.
Can we be about the Father's business? Come on. Can we be about the mission of Jesus this Christmas? We are sending you out. Pray over every invite, pray over every invitation, and watch God do something incredibly powerful in the life of somebody that you had a personal part to play in bringing them to encounter Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And then invest. Proverbs chapter 3, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I'll help you. Do it today. Can you even begin to imagine if everybody in our church did these three things consistently, what difference in heaven and on earth might we make together if we all did these three things consistently, regularly? Now you might say, I don't know if I can do any of that. I don't know. It sounds like a lot. I don't know. I've never shared my faith. I don't know. I kind of like to hold on to what I have. I don't know. I kind of just like sitting back on Sunday and taking it in. Listen, let me give you just a few things, four things that it's going to take to live a legacy life. Number one, it's going to take faith. It takes faith to trust the Word of God. It takes faith to take hold of the promise of God. What doesn't take faith are the results that come by way of a person who's living and walking in faith. See, our problem is we want the proof of the promise before we ever put our faith to work. We want the proof of the promise before we step in faith, but putting your faith to work will always precede the proof of the promise. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith. We want the proof first, but Jesus is saying, no, I need you to take hold of the promise and step in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Which means we have to learn to see in faith what we cannot yet see with our physical eyes. You see somebody at work, and what you see is a person who's hard, who wants nothing to do with God, and who's absolutely going to turn you down when you invite them to a Christmas service. So you don't even invite them. You don't even pray for them because they're already too far gone. But when you begin to pray for them and you begin to see in faith what you can't yet see with your physical eyes, you'll be led by the Spirit. And in the right moment and in the right way, you're going to say something to that person and you're going to watch that hard shell crack and that invite be received. And they're going to say, hey, I don't know. I might have something to do that weekend, but let me think about it. And while they're thinking, you're praying for them. And you're going to watch the Spirit of God do something powerful in their life. I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, Message Translation. It says, God is building a home and he's using us irrespective of how we got here and what he's building. Just like he used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, he's now using us. He's fitting us in brick by brick and stone by stone with Christ as the cornerstone that holds everything together. And we are seeing it take shape day after day. A holy temple built by God and all of us built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. See, it takes faith. And we see it. We see it. We see what God is doing. We see through spiritual eyes. We see the vision like the vision's already done, which is why we invest in it. It's why we give our lives for it. Years ago, a pastor that I very much respect wrote out a vision called The Church I See. And it was a vision of the church he saw, of the church that he was leading at the time. But he inspired pastors all across America and the world to write out their own vision of the church that I see. And 7 years ago, before there was a Short North campus or a Whitehall campus or a Hilliard campus, what am I leaving out? Or a Polaris campus or a Dream Center, before there was any of that, I wrote out my own version of the church I see. And it's amazing to me as I look back over that vision written out 7 years ago, how much of that vision is now reality. I don't know if it would be okay with you, but is it all right if I would read that vision from 7 years ago? And then you can just kind of tell me if this is what y'all see now. Because this is what I saw then. And I'm curious how much of it lines up with what we all see now. All right, it's got a little flow to it. You ready? Just a little bit. The church I see is so attractive, so refreshing, so inspiring that the buildings struggle to contain the increase. I see a church where people are so in love with Jesus, energized in his presence, committed to walking in his ways, where living for God is no longer a burden and obligation, but an opportunity to praise. I see a church where lost people are found and sick people are healed, where hurting hearts are restored, restless souls awaken, where prodigals come home and families are strengthened. I see a church radically committed to taking the message of hope beyond these walls, this Savior once given for all who call upon his name. I see a church that leads the way with radical generosity, blessed for the least of these shapers of history, full of people who believe it is better to give than to receive. Try, but you won't succeed to outgive God. It is an impossibility. His heart breaks for the least of these. I see a church where everyone brings their best with a focus on excellence, where honor is given and passion is shared, a kingdom on fire in power and prayer. I see a church that never stops going, it never stops growing, relentless on mission, a passion and vision where Jesus is famous, the restless awakened, the wayward are rescued, the hopeless are saved, and one purpose it drives us, a hope for the hopeless, his kingdom unfolding, his favor upon us. She's compassionate, faithful, enduring, and great. She's bold and unshaken, full of power and strength, this hope of the world, because this hope, he is in us. Redeeming and faithful, his spirit surrounds us. Never content, always inspires for the cause of Christ and for the sake of others. She never backs down. She always lifts higher the hands of the broken and the downcast and tired. She speaks for the voiceless. She stands for the weak. She carries the hopeless and strengthens the least. Remembering the past, but always looking forward, empowering generations to carry the torch and engaging the masses to fulfill the call that Jesus has given, no matter the cost. She's unified, significant, inspiring, committed. They are visionaries and innovators, anointed and gifted. She's humble, compassionate, authentic, contagious. She's timeless, magnificent, youthful, and ageless. She's faith-filled, anointed, together as one, with Jesus exalted and his will done. No weapon against her will ever prosper. Not even hell with its devil can possibly stop her. Come on. This is the church I see. The church I see is just getting started, is blessed beyond measure and called to endure till heaven is upon us and life is restored to the fullness of the promise of one. The church I see, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Come on. Is that the church you see? Is that the church you see? It takes faith to see it. And it takes sacrifice, and we choose it. It takes sacrifice, and we choose it. Because nothing worthwhile in life will be accomplished without sacrifice. If I can let you in on a little secret, if I can tell you something worthwhile, the purpose that God has for you to live out while on this earth is a worthwhile purpose for a worthwhile cause. Jesus said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And that's not always easy. And it can be painful and hard. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. And what we need to understand about sacrifice is that sacrifice isn't something we stumble into. Sacrifice is something we choose. Jesus said in Mark 10, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. That's something that's chosen. Servanthood is chosen. Matthew chapter 20, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. It's chosen sacrifice. It's chosen submission to the Father. It's chosen engagement in the mission. It's choosing to love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. It's choosing to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It takes faith and it takes sacrifice and it takes generosity. Matter of fact, sacrifice and generosity are key themes in the story of the Good Samaritan, where a man was beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. And a priest walks by and he sees the man in need, but he continues on his way. And a Levite walks by and he sees the man in need, but he too continues on his way. Then a good Samaritan walks by and he sees the man in need and he stoops down and he picks the man up and he puts him on his own donkey, the Bible says, and he leads him to an inn. One of the things the Lord spoke to me years ago is he said, don't hide behind a generous church. Just because your church is generous doesn't mean you're generous. And he spoke that to me. And I love this story because it says he put him on his own donkey. He wasn't expecting somebody else's donkey to carry that man to the inn. Come on, somebody. He wasn't expecting somebody else's donkey. Y'all get the drift? Because there's some other words I could use for that. Well, I'm just going to let somebody else's donkey carry the load. No, I'm going to carry the load. Because this is the man in front of me. And this is an opportunity for me to serve. And he takes the man to the inn and he says to the innkeeper, here's the money to care for this man, but if he needs a longer stay, just know I'm coming back and I'm going to pay the bill when I get back. I just want to make sure that you care for this man well, and I'm going to cover the cost. Why? Because that's what the generous do. They share freely. They give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, and they will have influence and honor. We see it in faith, the need, the opportunity. We choose it, the sacrifice, and take personal responsibility, and we give it what we have and what we can. I've used this graph before, but I want to show it to you again because it's powerful. This chart represents a person. And if you can imagine, if this chart were to represent you and each dot were to represent a resource in your hand, a resource that God has given you to steward. And every resource that God has given you to steward and you use as you see fit. But then if we turn one of these dots red, the red dot would represent a resource in your hand, something God has given you to steward that you use for somebody else, for something outside of you and beyond you. The question I've always been interested in is how many red dots would we need to see represented on this chart if this chart represents a person where we would find consensus, even in the church, that would say this is a generous person. How many resources do we keep versus how many resources do we give away? Is it one dot or two that makes a generous person? Is it three dots or four? Is it four dots or five? And I'll be honest with you, I don't have an answer to this question. I don't think anybody really knows what the line is. But what I think is interesting as we think about what it might look like to be generous and willing to share, to command those who are rich in this present world to be generous and willing to share, I think about something the Bible talks about specifically in regards to being generous that a lot of people, even in the church, think is so far and extreme an ask. That when the Bible talks about the tithe, which is represented by just two small and seemingly insignificant dots on this chart. A measure of generosity that I'm not quite sure we would ever get a mass consensus of people saying, this is a generous person. And yet when the Bible tells us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, says the Lord, this is what the tithe looks like. And when God says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Isn't it interesting how God would attach such an incredible promise, this large and overwhelming outpouring of blessing, to what appears to be a seemingly insignificant act of giving, which is the tithe. I just want you to see it. And if you've struggled to wrap your mind or your heart around the tithe, I would submit to you, perhaps this ought to be a real challenge that you would consider. As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the last thing it takes to live a life of legacy. It takes urgency. It takes urgency. I wish I didn't preach this so much because it makes me think about life so often. King David prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. Teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are. Help us spend them as we should. Nobody knows how important a prayer that is to pray and how short and fragile life can be. Like Taylor. Watch this.
So I started attending Rock City in 2019 when the Hilliard campus first opened. Life was great. My husband and I had recently been engaged. We were planning our wedding. And later that year in November, I received my diagnosis, Hodgkin's lymphoma. They told me it would be a quick 6 months of some chemo. It was going to be like an easy cancer, if that is a thing. I think it was a month before my 26th birthday and 2 or 3 months before my husband and I were supposed to get married. And so we ended up luckily moving up the wedding. It all worked out and I started treatment 5 days later, which was an interesting way to start off a marriage, but I won't lie, there definitely was a time, initially at least, when I was mad because, you know, I had all these plans like for our wedding and then, you know, we wanted to have kids and all of those things. So it felt like the diagnosis brought that to like a screeching halt. My husband, I think he had created this like worship playlist, and I Know There Is Power, that was definitely one of the songs on there by Rock City. And I remember just blasting that, and people probably thought we were crazy on the highway, but I know the song starts off with "When Mountains Are Standing in My Way." And with my cancer diagnosis, that's truly like what it felt like. I was staring at this huge mountain I wasn't familiar with. Having that space, that little car filled with God, and through just the lyrics of that song were so powerful. I felt surrounded like by God. And even on the way home, I think we would just listen to it again, because it's like, okay, the treatment's over, but now, you know, the days leading after the treatment honestly were harder than the actual treatment day. In early 2021, I had to go to the hospital for a stem cell transplant. My husband and I spent our first anniversary apart because I was in the hospital for that. I think that's the loneliest I've ever felt. It was so hard being in the hospital for 2, almost 3 weeks. At times I was just like, how am I gonna do this for another day? Like I felt like I was going insane in there by myself, but Rock City Worship's music helped. I know Peace and Place, I think, came out around that time. And I know we listened to Made Away and Victory Is Near just over and over again on repeat. And just hearing the lyrics in those songs gave us that peace, like on those days where the doubt and, you know, like fear would take over, like the motivation to keep going and believing that the end was in sight. We were at a point where things weren't black and white. We were kind of just in a waiting period and praying that things would still be healthy, praying that the transplant worked. So when Rock City came out with Glory Fills This Room in early 2022, I know so many songs on there were just, again, they were resonating with me, but especially Make Time. And Make Time was special to me, I think, just because that was a good way to reflect on how far we had come in the journey and really just lean on God and call on Him and trust Him. So the summer when Rock City came out with Best Thing, I could tell from the moment that I listened to it, it was gonna be this album of celebration, and I knew I had my final scan coming up in September. So we would just listen to that repeatedly, kind of maybe getting a little excited for the scan, just believing that, you know, this was finally gonna be the moment that we got good news. And I remember vividly the day I actually went for my scan, I was just laying in that scan room singing My Father's Got It. The lyrics are so simple, but I just kept telling myself, like, he's got it, he's got it. And almost 3 years later and almost 40 treatments later, we finally got good news in September that my scan was clean and there weren't any signs of cancer, so I don't need any more treatments or any more scans. We'll just follow up. But looking back, just through the whole entire journey, you know, Rock City was there from the beginning and the worship team was there through the whole thing. At times it felt like they were speaking right to me, like they were in the room with me and God was in the room with me. And I'm so grateful that I attend a church like Rock City who takes worship so seriously and writes the songs for their people. It's kind of crazy. Sometimes I almost feel like these songs were written just for me.
What a good reminder of why we do what we do, of how our generosity is making a difference. If I could challenge you with one last thought, it would be this. Proverbs chapter 6, don't put it off, do it now. Don't rest until you do. And that is to make this commitment that I will live today as if this day will be remembered forever. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, but I know I'm here now and I will live this day. I will seize this moment. I will take hold of this opportunity. I will value the relationship in front of me, the moment in front of me, as if this is the moment, as if this is the day that will be remembered forever. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Jesus, thank you for your word today. You are a good and present and faithful God. Thank you for your church, for what we get to celebrate, all the great things that you've done, for the story that we just heard, and how each of us got to play a little part. Thank you for being so good and so faithful, even when we're not. Lord, would you use this church, this season, to make heaven full, to engage your mission like we've never engaged your mission before? Would you use this church and the generosity of this church to make such an incredible kingdom difference that our minds wouldn't even be able to comprehend the impact, that we would be able to step into the new year ready and focused on doing all that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray for those who are here right now as I think about this day will be a day that will be remembered forever. What decision might I make this day that would be the most important decision that I could make? And it would be the decision to trust Jesus if you've not trusted Jesus with your life. And if the thought of heaven has a big question mark next to it for you. The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all fallen short, and that our sin separates us from God, and we can feel that separation every single day. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful and just, and He'll forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So if you want that to be you today, you want to be forgiven of your sin, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God and have life and hope and joy the way that you've heard it described, the way that you just saw it expressed through Taylor's story, would you pray right now by saying, Jesus, here I am. I need you and I trust you as Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me through and through, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And lead me daily by your presence, that I would live my life for you, that I would make a difference for you, as I engage your will, your plan, your purpose for my life, which is so much bigger than me. Thank you for salvation, Jesus, who died for me, you who were raised from death to life for me. Now I too live because of you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said. Amen. Come on, could we honor Jesus today together? Could we honor Him?